Hey guys, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about relationships. My wedding is coming up in the next couple of months. My best mate has just joined Tinder. You know, if any one of us has been on that platform or knows someone who's been on it, we all know what a complete mess in our minds that is when you're trying to find someone who matches you. You know, relationships are tough enough for the neurodiverse, I find, until you find that right person. So it's a topic I think would be valuable to talk about. And I wanted to share what switched in my head. You know, when I was really lucky to find Holly, I thought I'd share some tips, which you can, hopefully get some value out of. Let's dive into this episode. Okay, before we dive in, guys, I just want to share something. Going forward, this podcast is going to be sponsored by RemarkableMinds.org. They're a company that I have a share in, and I absolutely love their work. They're an absolutely amazing group of women who come up with courses for adults with dyslexia and support them in moving forward in their lives. Together, we've run multiple courses that have literally changed the lives of adults with dyslexia across the planet, from America to the UK, all the way through to New Zealand and Australia. Now, we're trying to get this all running really smoothly, so there will be probably a fancy podcast intro in the future. I'm going to try and make it funky. If anyone's an audio engineer and wants to join in, please message me on truthaboutdyslexia.com. But we are going to be supporting the courses they run. We know that when anyone from the podcast or beyond who's an adult with dyslexia goes through these processes, lives change. We're also going to be rolling out live courses again. For a period there, we tried to do it without the coach group coaching calls, but we found, to be honest, they were one of the most valuable things that could possibly be done. And basically the main course they run is 6 weeks long. There's 7 weekly phone calls, or 7, what do they call them these days? Zoom. I sound like I'm about 105, and they're absolutely amazing. These group coaching calls, the amount of stuff that comes out of them, the amount of ahas, the life changing, you know, stuff that just breaks down barriers in the way you think about yourself is just awesome. So just to let you know, and a heads up, over the next coming weeks, more of that will be shared. I'll put a link in the bio if anyone's interested, and you can reach out. On to the podcast. So let's talk about relationships. Now, if you'd have spoken to me, probably even at the beginning of this podcast, you know, when I first started this, you know, I was terrible, just absolutely horrific at romantic relationships. You know, honestly, like I think back to how I was there, and I wouldn't have got a C. You know, I was just, you know, there were so many challenges. I'm trying to list them in my head as I speak here, because, you know, I managed to pick women. You know, the way I'd pick women for me was wrong. The way I'd get into relationships was wrong. The way I saw what relationships should be was wrong. And, you know, what it led to was this dread in the pit of my stomach, you know, always trying to probably be something I'm not. I was really good at putting on a face when I first got into a relationship and being someone I wasn't. And to woo a lovely lady, you know, does it sound like I'm from the, gosh, I'm really going in back about 80 years now. You know, I was that kind of guy. I was trying to do it from that perspective. And that was what I knew. It was kind of a way of keeping myself safe. I didn't want someone to pick on me. I felt like I, you know, wasn't good enough. I had imposter syndrome everywhere. You know, I was worried, and, you know, I was just happy a woman liked me. You know, that's really how it was for quite a period of time. I'd get into relationships. All the women I've been with were lovely, brilliant people in their own right. But, you know, when it came to it, they weren't quite right for me. And that wasn't on them. It was the way I sought them out. It was the way, you know, I chose women. It was the way I set it up. Now, I'm going to do this from my perspective. So if you are female and you're thinking about men, you know, please put it in that context for yourself, but it's probably similar in a way. you know, we hear this old adage of women picking the bad boy, or, you know, picking the wrong person. And a lot of the time for that, and, you know, I've always wondered about this whole women picking bad boys kind of thing, is it's kind of, you know, maybe it is a bunch of ADHD-based women or dyslexic women who are trying to basically mentally stimulate themselves with someone who's really overstimulating, right? Maybe that is what that is all about, right? You know, could quite possibly be, because not everyone plays that role, just a small group of people. But the same thing was happening with me. Like, I was just happy to be in a relationship, to be in something. And that was like the first, it was kind of like I had to kick a goal by getting into a relationship. I was never someone who could do the one night stand thing very well. I know there are people out there, but it was never my thing. I wanted to find the right person, not just someone. And, you know, I've had a bunch of amazing experiences over the years. Like, I was, you know, and I've enjoyed it. It's all built me up to be who I am today. I've learned from it. I've made massive mistakes. You know, there are times, and I think I've talked about this earlier on in the podcast, about some massive relationship blunders I made early on. You know, but I think everything we go through builds our experience. And what I did know until I met Holly was I didn't actually know what a good relationship looked like. My parents were both neurodiverse. They have their challenges. They're divorced now. You know, I'd grown up in a family where it hadn't quite worked. You know, my mum and dad's story was they met, you know, for whatever reason. They got engaged 2 weeks after they met. You know, probably on that high. And they stayed together for like 25 years in quite an intriguing relationship. You know, it wasn't great. You know, I didn't learn from a great stock of relationship advice. And so it took me a long time. And when I finally, you know, after a while, I finally broke up with my ex. And as that was going on, I was like, I'm not going to do this again. And I find those external points in our lives, you know, really, really powerful. And when you actually go, oh, what has gone wrong in this? You know, and you really ask yourself those deep questions. Because you get to that point where you go, I've got enough experience now. If I do the same thing again, all I'm going to get is the same results. And we hear that, but it sometimes takes a flash of the blinding obvious to really kick yourself and go, we need to change. Me being we. You know, maybe I've got a couple of personalities in here. Who knows? But, you know, like I was saying to myself, I need to adjust. And so, too, what I sat down with, I said, what is wrong with my picking? You know, I was physically attracted to the women I was with. That was never the problem. But what I did learn, you know, that there was really, what was it? There was three things that stood out when I, you know, that I needed to make sure, maybe four. We'll keep going until I run out of things. You know, the first was when we got into the relationship, I was deadly honest. I didn't leave anything out. I had told my whole truth, nothing but the truth. I remember my Tinder profile. I literally had written on it, you know, I'm an alcoholic, but I'll probably change the world. You know, something along those lines, you know, being that I had big dreams and visions and you know, I'm pretty erratic, but I also drink a lot. You know, and at the time, that was really me. I'm a bit less now to a point, but, that was what I was. I wanted to be honest of who I was. I put a real perfect photo of who I am. I wrote my story on it. It wasn't the Stephen I hoped to be. It was the Stephen I was at the time. And, you know, that was super clear. And when I went on that first date with Holly, I was so clear about who I was. You know, we just connected. It was really authentic. We were both who we were. And bang, that was such an important piece of the puzzle. So if you are dating, is don't try and be what you think that person is wanting, because I will guarantee you it is going to fail, and it could be a very long and time, you know, energetic sucking kind of thing. So, and I know this seems really normal, seems simple, but how often do we put a flavor on it to make people like us, you know, day to day, let alone in relationships? And it can be the biggest dagger to your own heart. So if you are looking for someone, or you need to, you know, pass this pod on to someone, you know, this is super key. And I think with dyslexics, we're so good at putting a mask on if we want to feel liked or we want to feel safe. we can sometimes not even see ourselves doing it. So that was one key thing. The second thing I learned from my relationships of past was I needed to find someone who was on a similar growth trajectory. Trajectory? Is that the right word? You know, so like I like to grow and change things. Things adjust. My real ADHD side of my personality is my brain's always looking for stimulation, and for stimulation requires growth, if that makes sense. Probably does to anyone listening to this podcast. You know, so I needed someone who wasn't going to be down the lines. You know, I know people say, you know, opposites attract. Maybe they do, but do they last? Who knows? Sometimes, but, you know, who knows? I'm not going to be the one to say if it does or not. But for me, it wasn't going to work. We had to have some opposite traits that would help each other. But all in all, we had to be willing to go with the flow together, come up against problems and solve them. And all of that had to be that type of relationship. It wouldn't work otherwise. I'd done that in other ones, and I didn't want, that's what I learned that I needed. So that was really important. Having that growth outlook was great. The third thing in this never-ending list that just keeps adding to in my head as I speak it, the third thing was communication. You know, in previous relationships, and I see this in my friends, not just dyslexics, but we have a very specific type of communication. And a lot of the times, if we haven't quite grown, we haven't done, you know, the stuff to understand ourselves well, our communication technically can suck. We think we say a lot more than we do. We think we're really open and authentic, but 9 times out of 10, we're holding it deep inside. We're not really as open a book as we think we are. We think just because we talk a lot makes us think that we're, you know, we're very open, but half the time, nope. So I had to find someone I could communicate with. When we had a fight, how did we deal with it? In the past, you know, I'd had relationships where we just didn't fight, and not for a good reason. You know, it was just like we just didn't care enough to fight about things. It just didn't matter. So, and you know, I don't think a relationship should have a lot of fights, but you need to, at some points, one of you will believe something the other one doesn't, and how you deal with that is vital. You also have to, you know, in that communication side, find someone you respect. Like, there have been relationships where, if I'm honest, you know, coming out the other end, this is easier to see than going in, is I didn't respect the other person, which is not a good place to be. And so I think, you know, that was massive, so, so massive, is that I didn't, you know, respect them. Whereas with Holly, I have a respect. When she says something, I may not always agree, I may not always do it, but I respect her point of view and how she's come to her recommendation, her decision, what she's done. So there's never a question of that, which is so vital in a relationship. So finding that, you know, kind of happiness, that kind of, you know, that place where you can have that, and communication is vital. You know, if we have a fight now, we both can walk away from it. We know we both need to let the energy go down. Next day, we're both fine. And we've both had time to mull over the other person's opinion, and we'll usually come to some outcome, which is really, really vital. Another key thing was about having a similar vision for where we're going. You know, in other relationships, and probably my last one's a great example, and this was really on me, is I was really indecisive about what I wanted. And I was trying to work out kind of, did I want kids, did I not want kids? Did I want to live overseas? Did I want to travel around? Like, I had so many opportunities, it kind of put me in overwhelm. Whereas my ex-partner wanted to move back to the United Kingdom to be with her family, I had no interest in leaving beautiful New Zealand. And I tried to convince myself I did want that, and I kept trying, and I kept trying to put that mask on, and I just couldn't make it happen. Just didn't interest me. And I was lying to myself, and then lying to her. And so that was on me. I was wrong in that. With Holly, we both are very congruent on where we're going in life. We're both super happy with what it looks like. And together, we're carving our future, which is amazing. To be on the same page as someone, it feels like two people become, you know, the hands of four. Does that make sense? You know, we're achieving so much more because we're rowing in the same direction, which I haven't in previous relationships. Now, if you're just wanting a one-night stand on Tinder, this probably doesn't make any difference. But I know a lot of us deep down want something more. We want someone who we trust, who's got our back, who wants the same things. You know, we don't want to keep having to fight for a relationship. We want to get to a point where we've got a great relationship that's got enough stimulation, but also that allows us to focus on other parts of life without worrying about it. I know how hard it was for me in those, you know, especially when I break up with someone, it is like the devil. It is so hard, man. It just cuts me up inside. I just hate it. It's horrible. And, you know, I never want to go back there. I never want to go back there because, you know, we all have a habit of staying in relationships too long. It's like really common, you know, this is what I've seen at least, is that we all have this issue. So getting it right up front, putting these bottom lines in is so important. And if I could stress one of these things that will make the biggest impact is be deadly honest up front. What do you want? How do you want to communicate? If you want someone who's growth orientated, make sure you want someone who's growth orientated. You know, it's a lot less about how pretty someone is. You know, you're either attracted to someone or not. That's easy. You know, that's the easy part. It's all these other intangibles. You need to share who you are and what you want at the beginning. And that sets the foundation. If they self-select and say, no, that's not what I want, then diddly-tastic. You need to cut and run if you're after a proper relationship. That's what I've learned. And in the early days, I didn't back myself enough that I could have that. I didn't think in this world of 8 billion people, and a lot of them being women, you know, that there was enough out there for me or someone who would want me. And that was terrible. That was really shitty. I felt bad. So if I was you and you are looking for this, or you know someone who's neurodiverse, looking for a relationship, always pass the pod, right? But, you know, make sure you are who you are. Stand up for what you believe. You are good enough. Hey, we all have issues. You know, everyone has issues. Everyone has baggage, but if you can find someone to carry the baggage with you, it's pretty darn cool. So that's what I want to share today, guys. I felt really energetic on this pod. Hopefully it's come through. And I will be back on Thursday with another interesting podcast. Have a great rest of your day.